This is Deanne Penn at the United Nations. Population growth around the major cities in Sudan's Darfur region has put added stress on what was already a scarce resource there, water. That's the assessment of the man at the UN African Union mission in the province, UNAMID, who is helping communities to find solutions to the problem. Olatunji Ayeni, chief of the mission's Water and Environmental Protection Unit, explained that access to safe drinking water has been one of the non-political drivers of conflict in Darfur, where fighting that began more than a decade ago has left 2 million people displaced. It is also an issue that particularly affects women and girls who spend hours walking long distances every day just to fetch water for household use. Mr. Ayeni spoke to Setio Budi about UNAMID's work with local authorities to harvest and recycle wastewater, as well as the mission's own steps to monitor groundwater levels in a region devoid of rivers and lakes.
Well, the situation with clean water supply in Darfur is still dire. Simply looking at it from a resource perspective, you know, this is one of the most severe parts of the world climatically. And as you can see, this part of the country doesn't really have surface water resources. There are no rivers to speak of. So it's still challenging. It's much improved than it was a couple of years back, but it's still quite far away from a complete story.
How much has the population growth in Darfur's major cities contributed to the problem?
The population growth in the recent years has really created a lot of stress on a water resource that was scarce to start with and is very difficult to expand. Basically, the source of water here in Darfur is from underground aquifers. Okay, I mean, you can imagine underground aquifers in the middle of the desert. I have on record from my department, a most recently constructed borehole is almost half a kilometer deep. So there's scarcity of that resource. It's difficult to expand because when you talk groundwater, you're talking of something that has a finite quantity. Unlike the sea or rivers that flow perennially, you know, groundwater is limited in quantity. So the population growth around the major city centers in Darfur has really put a lot of stress on the availability and access to clean water.
And how has this problem affected the well-being of the Darfuris?
The problem of potable water and access to potable water. One thing is availability, the other is access. The problem of access to clean potable water has a very huge impact on livelihoods, you know. If you take, for instance, the time spent fetching water for households, it's several hours a day. We have situations where both around the urban, the semi-urban, and the rural centers, people go for kilometers a day just to fetch water and bring back home. You know, young girls and women who otherwise should have been in school spent a significant part of their lives going to get water. Water sources that otherwise will not be used for human consumption, people need to use them and try to clean them as best as possible. So the lack of potable water really has a negative impact on livelihoods here.
And how has this problem also contributed to the local conflict in the region?
If you look at the fact that traditionally the water problem has been identified as one of the non-political drivers of the conflict in Darfur. Okay? I mean, even with the progress made towards peacekeeping, the fact that this resource cannot be readily expanded, it's still limited, means that there are still conflicts surrounding these water bodies or the availability of the water resources. So it still remains. And as long as it is limited in quantity and access is limited, will continue to remain an issue in the conflict.
What has UNAMID done to help solve lack of this clean drinking water?
Now, within Darfur, I can give you a few examples. For instance, UNAMID embarked on a massive tree planting campaign at its inception. Today, we have planted and nurtured well over 300,000 trees. Our footprint in this wise has been very positive in stemming desertification and the encroachment of the desert in this area. Carbon exchange, the trapping and exchange of released carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, the best method known to man is by trees. Secondly, at its initiation, UNAMID went about constructing groundwater recharge schemes like Hafurs. Hafur is basically an underground dam. It's a small dam that traps water and sends it back underground. UNAMID has done significant investment in this kind of structures. Apart from that, UNAMID has played a lead role in what we call sustainable boreholes, drilling boreholes that do not over-abstract water from the natural aquifers. UNAMID has the largest number of wastewater treatment systems in the whole of peacekeeping right now, which means we treat and recycle wastewater and use it for non-potable uses, thus saving a huge amount that would otherwise have depended on fresh water. 300,000 trees entirely grown on recycled wastewater. The gardens, the nurseries, the irrigation, entirely grown on recycled wastewater. We've recently moved into groundwater monitoring, and a lot of these technologies we're sharing with the communities directly or with the State Water Agency. The introduction of technology into an area like this must be backed by capacity building of the end user or the beneficiary to use and operate it. The next phase on which we hope the UN country team pick up from where UNAMID has left off in helping to integrate these new technologies, especially wastewater recycling, into the normal livelihood of the people of Darfur.
What efforts have been done to develop local capacity to address the issue of clean drinking water in Darfur?
With the local capacity, we've been working at two different levels. One is with the community, and there are repeated training sessions with local communities and community-based organizations. Secondly, at a more strategic level, is our interaction with the State Water Agency. To start with, the management of UNAMID went into a memorandum of understanding with the State Water Agency to purchase water from them, thereby making money available for them to use to develop their infrastructure. Secondly, we're regularly sharing our technologies with them. I told you that we just started training them on wastewater recycling and reuse so that they will be able to harvest a large amount of water that is normally thrown away after its use. So we're interacting with them at strategic level, and we're interacting with them at the community level so that a lot of the technologies and knowledge that we're bringing here will be retained by the local community.
You mentioned earlier about the project of the groundwater monitoring scheme.
Yeah.
That was pioneered by UNAMID. Can you tell us more?
The groundwater monitoring program basically is a methodology of monitoring your abstraction of water from the aquifer. It's crucial where your only source is groundwater. Okay, if you had other sources like rivers and lakes and streams, it becomes a little bit less critical. But once you are 100% reliant on the groundwater from the aquifers, you really need to monitor how much you are taking and its impact on the residual water. So basically, the groundwater monitoring tool monitors fluctuations in the groundwater level and is an early warning system to help you not over-abstract. When you rely on boreholes, on groundwater resources alone, over-abstraction can leave negative impacts like collapse of the aquifers, like salination, like pollution. So it is part of UNAMID's due diligence to ensure that the water resources of the host community is not negatively affected. We've started it. We have it on stream. We're sharing information with the State Water Agency. Happy to say that we're the first to put this technology on the ground.